today. So I am Mary Meyer. I'm the next speaker from the University of Minnesota. I'm going to talk about prairie drop seed germination. So thank you, Hilton Hotel, for regulating the lights. I don't know how that happened in the middle of Mike's presentation, but the lights went down, so that's good. So now you can see the pictures better. So this is southwestern Minnesota, the Prairie Coteau Scientific and Natural Area, where I did some seed collection work for prairie drop seed. So prairie drop seed is in the picture here. It's the yellow grass that you can see, little tufts of yellow there. And can you see that windmill in the back? Just barely, right? So that is typical of the tall grass prairie that's left in Minnesota. The tall grass prairie, the darkest green area here, is the most altered biome on Earth, with only 1% remaining. Now the size of Rhode Island and used to be the size of Texas. So we don't have as much prairie drop seed as we used to. And in some of the New England states, Massachusetts, can you see Massachusetts here? Yes, prairie drop seed has a wide natural range, but in some areas there's very little of it left, because, of course, there's very little tall grass prairie left. In Minnesota, there's still quite a bit, but on my collection trips, I've had a hard time collecting seed. But the purpose of my work was really to look at germination and growth of prairie drop seed. When I've done surveys from growers, they've informed me that it's low germination and it's very slow growth. Maybe some of you have worked on prairie drop seed and you know this. It is, however, a nice ornamental plant. It's used a lot in landscaping, could be used a lot more. Maybe on your upland areas, Sasha, not lowlands. It's known for drought tolerance. And it is a great ornamental, but it does have some issues in growing. And so we looked at germination of this. So I did six experiments that we'll talk about, and I originally planned on using commercial seed as well as native seed that I collected, but I could not get enough native seed that I collected to sacrifice all that seed in germination experiments and not have it to look for variability. So I only used two commercial sources for seed. So these are the commercial sources I use. Prairie Moon Nursery is in Minnesota. Prairie Nursery is in Wisconsin. And prairie drop seed, when you look at it, it has a very obvious seed coat. And the seed coat from the commercial sources looked like this. It was often cracked. It was often broken. The seed did not look good. This is from the mechanical cleaning that takes place when they process the seed. So the experiments that I ran were, first of all the seed was held at cold, dark storage, traditional seed storage. And then from that, I did three experiments where I moistened the seed and held it at 40 degrees in a refrigerator. That was in Petri plates. I did 40 degrees in germination mix. And then after 30 days, those treatments went into the greenhouse. I did others that did not have that cold, moist treatment to begin with, and then I did a light and dark treatments. And then the last, number six treatment, was what's called cold conditioning. I had talked to some growers about this, and you can see the reference here from in the 70s, this cold conditioning was actually used by some commercial prairie restorationists. So this is a very small amount of moisture in a quite cold condition, so a little cold, just above freezing temperatures. So that treatment was recommended, and so I wanted to see if that would work. So this is just a schematic look at those the same treatments again. So everything was held at cold, dry storage. Some were cold, moist for a month and then went into the greenhouse. Others went directly into the greenhouse with light or dark treatments. And then the cold conditioning is the one at the bottom. So this is just a look of the germination. When we did the germination mix, these were in plug trays. I did 2 seeds per plug cell there. So commercial growers told me that, well, the seed is kind of cheap. Yeah, we just use a lot of it. So I said, so how much of it are you using? Well, I don't know, 10, maybe 20 seeds to a plug. You know, so they're just really, they really don't have a good idea what the germination is. They're just overseeding it, getting the plugs to look good so when they sell them. So this is just the refrigerator. So this is the moist, cold moist treatment. So it was lightly covered so it wouldn't dry out in the fridge. And then just in the greenhouse under the mist system, this is where everything ended up, even if it had the cold moist treatment or just went directly into the greenhouse. So long days and just a traditional mist system that was there. So you can see drop seed here. Of course, a monocot with a grass. It's a very thin leaf to it. It looks very fragile. It's slow growing when it does germinate, and it takes quite a while to really bulk up and even become transplantable. So this was just another one of the treatments. This was the Petri plates. You know, we can do this in the lab and so on, but no grower is really going to work on Petri plates. They're going to put the seeds right into the soil mix. They're just going to go with that. So this is kind of this is good for us, but this is really an artificial treatment as far as a grower is concerned. And then some of the Petri plates I compared to just the germination mix. So, of course, those were just sitting in the greenhouse. The dark treatments were just covered with foil, but these had the trying to maintain the uniform conditions. And this is the cold conditioning. This is a tiny bit of moisture in a very cold situation with the seed to see if that would improve the germination. So looking at the results, I hope you can see this writing here. So the biggest problem with this seed, as most of you know, with prairie seed, with native plant seed, is you got to start with good seed. And this seed does not have long-term viability. And most of the growers know this. But even in the 2 commercial sources that I got here, they gave me germination results. And so you can see one of these was in February. They had germination tested 93%. So I did germination tests myself, obviously. This is the experiments. But I also sent them out to a third party, the Minnesota Crop Improvement Association. So that first one you can see there, they came back with a tetrazoleum test of 82%, but only 1% germination. So by the time I got these third-party results from them, I was already starting my experiments. So basically, I had one nursery. Really, the seed was terrible. And they were selling it to me saying it's 93% germination. That was, they said, in August. I was doing these experiments in March. So just a few months later, the viability was gone. This is 2016 seed. So the age of the seed is really, really important. And, yeah, how long is that viability going to remain? The other nursery, they had a test longer ago with 95% germination, great TZ test, but 66% germination. So this basically, I'm showing you one commercial source with these different treatments when I had hoped to show wild collected as well as various commercial sources. So a lot of seed looked like this, you know, an array of molds, right, is what happened. So in the Petri plates, you can see germination here. This is what some of the treatments looked like when I pulled them out to count. We actually had some of the best germination from the dark treatments, but these seeds were not really very viable. They didn't last very long because of no light conditions. This is a look just at what some of the light treatments look like and difference, but a tremendous amount of mold. So we did not do surface sterilization, which could have been another part of the treatment. Can you see these? I can barely see this on the screen, but this shows the difference. So I compared the actual germination of the seed versus transplantability. So which seedlings were actually transplantable, large enough to transplant. So was a difference in that. So petri plates in the dark and the germination mix that was just from a cold dry treatment directly into the greenhouse were the highest percent of germination, but not that significant from some of the other treatments. The worst treatment by far was the cold conditioning treatment. And then this a little bit lower, but the transplantable seedlings that you can see here. Here these first two treatments were just switched, but still very similar. So germination mix, just cold, dry, traditional storage, and then use germination mix was really the best. So that is the results of what I found. There really wasn't anything fancy to do, and the moisture, the longer the seeds were moist and not in soil, the worse they were. They had a lot of mold and didn't germinate well at all. I would not recommend the cold conditioning at all, especially with prairie drop seed. It seemed to really increase the amount of decay and mold that was on the seed. So let's see, I think I have 4 minutes, 3 minutes maybe. Any questions on prairie drop seed germination? Do any of you have experience with prairie drop seed germination? No. So it is a great great plant, but Susan, do you have a question? I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. I shouldn't say that. I'm not certain how they're storing it. We do that. I do that with all of the seed I've got. I just traditionally do that. We have our big cold storage room. Everything goes in there. Cold dry storage. So I don't know.
Do you always do it for a month?
Do it till you're ready to seed. Right. That's a good question. That's a good question to ask them. I think most of the growers would say, at least the ones that I talk to a lot about this, and I did go back to the one grower and say, you know, your seed is terrible. Don't sell this to anybody. It's zero germination now. Forget it. Throw it out. And they all said to me, well, we try to have new seed every single year. We don't try not to carry it over. If we are carrying it over, we always do the germination test. The TZ tests on there were, you know, TZ is a stain, and according to the regulations with the Seed Testing Association, if you get a certain amount of dye coloration, you can call that seed viable. And that was the explanation I got. There was enough dye stain on that to be a viable seed, but obviously it wasn't translating to germination. Mike?
Did you look at whether the seed coat was damaged or not? Did you separate out any of those?
I tried to do that, and I could not track that differences. There, this seed coat, I began to think that doesn't really make that much difference. There was so much of it cracked, so much of it broken, but I'm not sure that is really that big a deal on drop seed.
Okay.